It's currently quite an issue with RFID in that for several years now, people have been saying that, you know, the potential demand of RFID, but that really hasn't come through. And what we've left with at the moment is a really fragmented market in terms of suppliers. There's far too much capacity out there than demand at the moment. And there are a few issues for that which we can go through. But what it's resulting in is that quite a few RFID tag suppliers, for example, are even giving away tags, or they're heavily subsidizing them and they're selling them at a loss. And so one of the things that we looked at is actually the real price-sensitive curve when all of that to the play shakes out, which it will do, we think, over the next 12 months or so. Now, what we found is that, of course, it depends very heavily on different vertical market segments. For example, some of the biggest spends in RFID and the most profitable sectors in RFID aren't to do with high-volume tagging of things. They're to do with low-volume, closed-loop applications, which, for example, involve active tags, which sell for tens of dollars. And in those cases, the tag cost isn't the major issue, it's the whole system's cost, the implementation cost. On the other hand, we see very low-cost passive tags, which at the moment are struggling. There's literally hundreds of suppliers out there. And across the whole world, I think not just in Europe, but also in the US, suppliers really are struggling to make money. Even the biggest companies supplying tags, for example, to meet US retailer mandates, only have RFID revenues of, say, about $10 to $20 million or so. And really, that isn't good enough. Users want to go to companies with more of a success and a less fragmented industry. So we think that problem is an opportunity for companies to look at consolidating. There's one example I can give, a UK-based company called Assa Abloy, who are mainly into security, and they've acquired several RFID companies, and they now are very profitable in RFID. They're not into the retail sector, but by focusing on one area and consolidating and buying up other companies, they're a very good success story of how we think it also work in RFID in terms of retail.
From a retail IT executive who is looking at RFID issues, particularly item level, over the next 1 to 2 years, how should some of the price information you came up with, how should they use that?
Well, ironically, we found that at the item level, people get a payback when the tags are even more expensive compared to tagging pallets and cases. And that's because if you're tagging at item level today, you're not looking at very far off things like tagging bottles of water and chewing gum. You're looking at things which are a real problem for you, such as razor blades or batteries or DVDs and CDs, which are high value and very high shrinkage products. And with RFID, even a 40 or 50 cent tag, if it means that a retailer doesn't lose that sale and it doesn't lose an item, it can be worth it to the retailer and also to the brand owner of that item. Now, we've seen that, for example, in the UK, where several years ago, Tesco's tagged all DVDs in 4 stores, and the purpose there wasn't actually to control security and theft at the shelf level, but really to monitor stockouts. DVDs are fairly expensive, and our retailers here don't like putting too many of each film out on the shelf because they don't want to have lots of theft. But the problem is that because they only put a few titles out of each film, that they would quickly go out of stock. So by tagging all the DVDs and having a smart shelf, they could tell immediately when the shelf level was getting very low on stock and it could be replenished. Tesco's did that, and they told us that sales went up by at least 4%, and they think it was even higher than that. Now, recently, Best Buy, late last year, started their own trial, and they were tagging computer video games in the U.S., and after their trial, again, it was just to monitor shelf level of these items, they said that their sales went up by 14%, which is a massive increase. And they're not interested in 5 cent tags. They're paying about 40 to 50 cents. So it's quite expensive, but they're getting that all paid back. So even though most of the focus is on pallet level tagging, we're actually seeing some companies get massive paybacks already on item level tags. So I can give you lots of examples of companies. M&S is another one in the UK, and they're already tagging clothing in 53 stores. And again, the major reason for doing it is that they can control, and they've got a much better idea of what's on the shelf, and when stock is running low, they can replenish it. So when a customer goes in, there is the item they want to buy on the shelf. So the problem then is, or the opportunity is, well, why aren't all retailers now rolling this out? If they can demonstrate that they increased sales by 14%, why did Best Buy stop the trial earlier this year and not decide to roll it out if it can increase sales so much? And the problem is it's really a sort of a chicken and egg cycle, because all of these are pilots, and in these cases they're applying the tags to the DVDs or the video games as they come into a store. But the problem with that is that they're currently doing it manually, and that's not scalable. What really needs to happen is that RFID tags have to be applied initially to the video game pack as that packaging for that pack is being made. Now, for that to happen, it means the cost shifts away from the retailer for the tag, and it goes to the packaging manufacturer. And then the packaging manufacturer is faced with tagging all of its items it ships. But the problem with that is that the packaging manufacturer won't get a payback unless all of the stores it ships it to have RFID systems in, so it can achieve some of that payback. So it's a chicken and egg cycle again. But we're seeing ways that that may be broken. One example is that companies' first item-level tagging is going to take off in where you have more closed-loop applications. So Marks & Spencer in the UK is a great example, because they only sell their own branded products, and that way they are effectively a closed-loop supply chain. They're therefore rolling out RFID tags to 53 stores this year, and they've told us by 2008 they could be tagging all 350 million garments they sell each year. We've also heard from companies working in item-level tagging that jewelry is another application where a lot of companies own their own storefront as well as make their own products, and that's also true of some other clothing and apparel companies. So that's where we think item-level tagging will happen first, and it won't be about the cheapest tags, which is good news, because people are finding a very strong ROI even on more expensive tags.
Paula, how does some of those thoughts, particularly on the ROI and the pricing issues, correlate to some of the retail discussions you've been having recently?
Well, I think that item level is, you know, we talked about this last week. Item level is where the future is on high-value items. I actually had a question, if I can, before I answer that. Is there any reason why you couldn't use existing EAS tags on, say, these CDs or DVDs to do the same kind of thing if you change the readers at the shelf?
Sure. An EAS tag, if you like, only contains one bit of data. So you can detect that it's there or it's not there, and that way you can tell if an item's being stolen or not. But because it only contains one bit of data, you can't identify which DVD it is. So you couldn't tell if it's a DVD or an item of clothing.
Okay, it's got no serialization to it whatsoever.
No. And so RFID is similar to EAS in the sense that it can be read remotely. But there you're adding data to that tag, so you can uniquely identify everything. Now, that usually means, whereas an EAS tag doesn't incorporate a silicon chip, most RFID today does, because it needs that extra data capability, and that's why it's a bit more expensive. However, what we've found is that, that the price sensitivity of RFID is following that for EAS, where about 3 or 4 years ago, I think when EAS was sold in the low billions each year, the price for each of those was about 5 to 8 cents. And now I think the EAS market has matured out of about 6 billion tags last year, and the average cost of EAS tags there was about 1 to 5 cents each. Well, we think we're going to see the same price curve, which probably won't come down as low as the EAS. It'll be a bit higher than that, but it'll follow the same curve. It'll be a bit more than that because it uses a silicon chip.
Do you believe then that the RFID tag would then replace the EAS tag effectively for security purposes as well? Or do you see dual
tags? In due course it will. RFID at the moment isn't really a security product for most applications, especially in retail. EAS is designed to be tough. It's designed to work when people try ripping it in half and try taking it out, whereas RFID is a bit more fragile. Now, that said, it is being improved, and eventually it will subsume RFID functionality. they're already, I mean, there's one major application, which is the tagging of library books, where RFID already does that. About 70 million library books around the world are tagged with RFID tags, so libraries can do automated stock checks very, very quickly. They know if books are in the wrong places in the shelf. But the same RFID tag in each book also acts as an anti-theft device.
Mm-hmm.
And that can tell if someone's taking a book out the library without checking it out properly. So we think that in due course, of course, it will save money, and it's the neatest application when RFID does subsume EAS. But currently, that's not the major focus of companies, but that will happen in due course.
Okay.
The only problem, the issue I have with RFID is, aside from the privacy issue, is, of course, the chicken and egg problem. And I think the way we're going to solve the chicken and egg problem here, mainly in the States, is through a company called Walmart. You know, what Walmart wants, Walmart gets. And if Walmart decides that it is a business decision, they want item-level RFID, we will see a huge adoption of it by everybody.
Yeah, the thing is that their stuff isn't high value enough in most cases to make it economically viable for them. Where it's most interesting is in high value.
Well, the thing about Walmart is that Walmart will offload the cost of installation of the RFIDs onto the manufacturers as a condition precedent to them buying the product. And then so then you're going to have adoption by the manufacturers of the item level RFIDs into the product, and that'll solve the problem of having to add the RFIDs afterwards. And if they find that for inventory control or for stock or for just simple purchasing, it makes some sense for them to adopt it, they'll do it.
It's Walmart have mandated to about their top 500 suppliers now that they must tag RFID pellets they receive, and simply if they don't, then Walmart will stop stocking their products. So the payback those companies are getting is really the fact that they're still retaining Walmart as one of their distributors. Now, the problem with that is that for most of those 500 suppliers, very few of them are getting an ROI by tagging their pallets, because Walmart has said that it won't pay for the cost of the tags. So Walmart are pushing the cost of the tags onto the suppliers, yet it's Walmart that's reaping all the benefit, not the suppliers. So we've got a quite a cruel world there of unfair, you know, benefit and cost. And what we're seeing is that on some items like Gillette razor blades, where they are high value, Gillette is getting a payback. But if you're an Altria group and you're selling, you know, crisps and things, and you're tagging crisps, which are really low value anyway, it's just the cost, and you're not getting any payback at all. So one of the issues then with the RFID industry is that everyone sees retail as such a big market for RFID, but if you were trying to supply Walmart suppliers with tags, you're trying to sell product to a branded goods company who actually doesn't really want to buy these tags, and it wants them at the lowest price possible. And that's why we're seeing such a large amount of fragmentation in the industry, and people who are really into the whole retail space and pallet mandates aren't actually making lots of money or anywhere near profitable yet. So even though Walmart is driving this forward, and generally we think that's quite a good thing, there are quite a few challenges, and it's quite dangerous for some RFID suppliers to jump into that ball game thinking there's lots of money to be made there when currently there isn't. Now, moving to item-level tagging, we think that the way item-level tagging will work is either companies like Marks and Spencer's, who have got a closed-loop system, identifying the opportunities and going for it, or the second reason, which will be mandates. And already Walmart has mandated to some of its pharma suppliers that they've got to item-level tag some of the drugs, and companies like Purdue Pharma are already tagging some of the drugs that they ship to Walmart, and we're going to see much more of that. But the good news, I think, at item-level tagging, when we've spoken to consumer goods companies, is that once you go away from pallet tagging down to item-level tagging, consumer goods companies start to get much more benefit, because they then start to have better visibility of their items. And I think ultimately what they want from RFID is really to use it as a marketing tool, because we've asked Coca-Cola, for example, do you really want to tag every can of Coke and know where it is? And they've come back and said yes. And the reason is not so much supply chain, because they will save costs there, But they also believe that with RFID they could learn more about their customers and the consumers that use their product, and that will give them an edge. And that's a common theme we're hearing from several companies.